Women are being torn down. We need to look at this and from the Bible and the perspective that it does. And I think ladies are, they're very special, and they tend to have just a beautiful, they have many gifts. One of the things is, I mean, I was just walking down the aisle, and I was just like, man, there's just so many fragrances, just, you know, just walking through. It's so beautiful. I really don't have much of a sense of smell, honestly. I don't know how many, I know that there's some men who have highly developed sense of smell, but that tends to be a little bit more something that ladies have in that aspect. But I'm kind of, in some sense, you know, I don't smell any poopy diaper. You know, I'm just completely oblivious to anything that's going on around me in regards to that area. But, you know, I was sitting back the other day, and the lilac bushes, we have one, and it's in bloom, and I'm telling you, I don't know if I've smelt them that way before, but it was beautiful. It was so beautiful, it was like candy to the nose, and I'm like, man, we got to plant some more of those. And too bad the bloom time is so short. I have a theory that in heaven, they'll just be blooming all the time, and it will be glorious and gorgeous. You know, there's an aspect to which God loves a good smell. When he had his temple, he wanted them to present at the altar before him a special conglomeration of spices that would to give off a sweet-smelling savor before the Lord. And as I think about it, I really do believe that this analogy can be applied to motherhood. That motherhood is a precious sacrifice of pleasant perfume poured out for the glory of Jesus Christ. And there's an aspect as we look towards this, is it's God who causes us to have the fragrance of Jesus Christ. So the Bible uses that terminology that we as believers and as Christians can put off something that is pleasing. And to some who have the knowledge of Christ, it is a beautiful smell of life. And for others, they smell it and it's a smell of death to them because it is the call of Jesus Christ. And there's a woman, her name, according to John, was Mary. And she took an expensive, very expensive box of alabaster, and she broke some spikenard. And in John it says that when she anointed Jesus and she anointed his feet and wiped his feet with her hair, that the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. How's your house? Ladies, is it filled with the odor and the anointment of the savor of Jesus Christ? And so I want to encourage you ladies today, and I want to encourage us who are not ladies or even those who are not mothers, that as we want to honor what God has done on this day. So let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll begin with our scripture passage in Mark 14. Dear Father, we come before your throne begging you, Lord, because we need you so desperately, to do what you've commanded, to value what you cherish, Lord, to honor what you have exalted. And Father, I pray that if there is a mother here, as many no doubt would be, can easily be discouraged or beaten down or wonder, Lord, if you're listening to their prayers, Father, I pray that you would encourage them today. And Father, that you would answer those prayers. And Lord, that you would use our godly mothers to raise up another generation for the glory of Jesus Christ. We pray it in his name. Amen. There's four similarities that I'd like us to think about in regards to this passage of scripture and the ointment and motherhood. And so this is a beautiful and precious portion of scripture that the Lord wants us to learn much from. And I believe that motherhood in some ways, as we'll look, is like this precious gift of the spikenard that is poured out and the gift that Mary had given to her. And, I don't know what happened here, but my PowerPoint changed, so I'll just go on. Samuel is not a part of this, so at least in this part of it. So, you know, there are some things that are expensive. you know, they're expensive and some they're like, we would like to buy that, but I mean, it's just a little bit too much money, not right now, maybe we'll save up, or maybe it's not worth it, that kind of expensive. But then there's another kind of expensive. It's the kind of expense that you could never hope to buy. You know, that there's no possibility. You know, you see that yacht, you know, on TV and whatnot, and so-and-so rich person is spending a vacation on their own private yacht, and you go, wow, I'll never buy that. Not in a million years. You know, that's just not even a possibility. That's the way we have to understand this alabaster box of ointment. It's the spikenard was a perennial herb of the Valerina family, and that is native to India. So it was far, far away. It was pure, meaning it was unmixed, and it was incredibly desirable. The smell of it was like, oh, where'd you get that perfume? And it was just something that was very much sought after. And for a woman in this culture, this would have been the most expensive thing that she owned. It would have been, in some sense, a whole year's worth of salary for her. Not in terms of salary for her, but salary in terms of a year's worth of salary for that day, that age. And so whatever that kind of comes out to you, if that be $40,000 or $50,000 or $80,000, that would be something that's set aside she has in this one item, in this one object. And when you have something that's kind of valuable and can be broken like this, I'm sure she really treasured it and protected it, and it wasn't brought out, and she didn't carry it around with her very often. It could have been very much a family heirloom. This is not something that, oh, if she broke this on Jesus' feet as a single woman, that she could go out in a year's time and make this up. No, she would never hope in her entire life to have something this valuable again. She would never dream of being able to replace it. And yet, she takes this sacrificial gift, and we find that she comes to the Lord Jesus, and she breaks the box, and she pours it on his head. We can kind of get an indication in that day, in that culture, how expensive this was, because the godly disciples sitting around Jesus began to become outraged at the waste that this woman had done and all the good that it could have done and the poor that could have been supported. John tells us that the main person who was the vocal antagonist towards Mary was Judas, because he was the one who held the bag, and he was a thief. There's an aspect to which in her breaking the box, she was doing something incredibly special. She was picturing Christ's brokenness in the pouring out of his life. In this, she was picturing an understanding of the death of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing aspect that she would have understood this. The disciples didn't understand the burying, but Jesus here says, she has come, in verse 8, aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Now, some would think that maybe she wasn't even aware of what she was doing, but I think there's an aspect that Jesus seems to intimate that there was a purposefulness in this. You say, how would she have known, and all the disciples had missed this? This is Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet. She listened. She heard. And by God's grace, if she understood, it's by his grace, she understood what he had been saying, that he would be despised, that he would be rejected, that he would be beaten and scourged, that he would be crucified. And on the third day, he would rise again. The Bible tells us that we ought to walk in love, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, as Christ also loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. There's an aspect to which the wrath of God was burning against sin. And Jesus Christ, in his sacrifice, in his bloody form upon the cross, in his brokenness and giving up his life for us, he paid the price for our sin so that we might have forgiveness towards God. And that death, and that the Bible says it pleased God to bruise him. That in the breaking and in the crushing, just like perfume and like flowers, an aspect of when things are broken up and things are crushed, and then the fragrance is released. So in the breaking of the Son of God, the love of God was released towards us, and the fragrance came before the Father. And He smelled it. And it was well-pleasing to Him. A righteous Son of God, dying sacrificially for us. And Jesus knew that that ointment, and the breaking of that, and the sacrificing of it all, and being poured out and spilled and wasted, was a picture of Him and His glory. But not only was the breaking of the box picturing what Jesus was coming to do, the breaking of the box pictured the costliness of discipleship. Throughout the gospel, Jesus Christ had been calling to His disciples to come after Him and forsake all. A rich young ruler came to Him and said, "Oh, what must I do to be saved?" And He tells him to keep the commandments. He says, "Oh, yes, I've been a good Jew. I've kept all the commandments." But God, Jesus Christ, knew that there was an idol in His life, and He called it out and said, "Then go sell all that you have. Give to the poor. Have treasure in heaven and follow Me." And that man turned away sorrowful because he was not willing to give all. There's an aspect to which when the in chapter 12, there was a woman who came to the temple. And there were many rich men who poured in money into the treasuries of the offering that day, but one woman gave all that she had. And Jesus singled her out and says, "She has done more than all the rest." What God requires from us to follow Him is not a partial obedience or a half-hearted acknowledgement of Him, but the total dedication of our lives. Nothing less is worthy of Him. And when she poured out, she demonstrated the costliness of discipleship. When we come to this aspect, I think there's a parallel here in terms of motherhood is costly and sacrificial. It's nothing less than pouring out of one's life into the lives of others. You think about it from the very beginning. You've got a parasite. Hate to put it that way, but the baby is living off of the mother. And the mother changes her diet and won't take things. And I know my wife has endured headaches and won't take medicine to help her own self because she doesn't want to hurt the baby. Just a chance that something could hurt that baby. She sacrifices for months on end, and some have to deal with great agonies of aspect and building up and sicknesses and headaches, and whole life becomes weird and wacky. And then the birth itself, being willing to go through that pain for the life of someone else. But motherhood doesn't stop there. Oh boy, no one told you about the sleepless nights. No one tells you about the pain and the agonies, and they begin to learn and see what all is required, and the unending, the unceasing aspect of the need of that baby, and you're sacrificing your body, you're sacrificing your time to meet the needs of this little one. And then you begin to pour, they start growing up, and you begin to pour all of your energy, and you're exhausted, and you're tired, and then they need to be educated, and they need to be taught in the ways of God, and then they get old enough to be able to be your friend, and to be able to talk to them, and they need someone to fellowship with them, and to encourage them, and give them direction, and then you help them, prepare them for life. Motherhood doesn't end there, does it? That's not what I've seen. I've seen my grandmother. She's 90 years old now, but when I lived with her, she was 80 years old. And I would, no matter what I told her, I say, "Ma, Grandma, I'm going to come home at 10. You don't have to stay up for me." I come home, the light's on, she's sitting in the living room, trying to stay awake, because she could not rest until I was safe. Motherhood doesn't stop when they're married. Motherhood continues on. The burden, the heart for those children, they carry with them all of their lives until they die. And motherhood is a sacrifice. You know what? The disciples thought that the sacrifice of this woman was a waste. And I see in our culture today, there are many people who think the sacrifice of motherhood is a waste. It is being attacked on every side. I have seen women crying because abortion was allowed. Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, now we can abort our babies. The heart of abortion is the refusal of the human heart to have to sacrifice for the life of somebody else. My body. My choice. That slogan sounds like a slogan of triumph for them. But in it carries with it all the damnation that is needed. They are condemned with their own words. There's an aspect to which our motherhood is seen as an aspect that your life is not fulfilled. You stay home with the kids. You take care of them. You sacrifice for them. Until you have your own job, your own career, you have your own hierarchy, your own standing. And there's this push for the equality and everything. And it's so misguided. Yeah. Because it goes against what God has intended for. There's an aspect to which all those things, God hasn't made every single woman to be a mother, and that's part of God's will. And so I seek God's will in your life in regards to those things. But God gives us instructions, as we'll see later, to be a keeper at home, to be someone who delights in raising up a generation. And that whole stigma, there's a stigma with that today. That's seen as automatically as being inferior. And the Bible says, no. Don't think the sacrifice of a life being poured into another is a waste. Because it is not. You know, it's interesting that this brokenness in this moment and in the sacrifice that is so seen in motherhood, this comes down to the very heart of the things that please God. We think the thing that pleased God is great show and great strength and great power, great virtuous lives. The Bible tells us in Psalms, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such as be of a contrite spirit. The sacrifices of God in Psalm 51 are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. God does not look down on brokenness. He cherishes it. The broken form of Jesus Christ upon the cross. God chose through weakness, through sacrifice, to demonstrate love. And ladies, as you sacrifice for your family and you make countless, numerous, daily sacrifices, God sees that as precious. It's like a beautiful perfume rising up before His nostrils. Not only in this story do we see that the spikenard was a sacrificial thing, but we find that it was motivated by love. The Bible tells us that if you were to give your entire fortune away or give your body to be burned, if you do not have love, it is worthless to God. We know that this Mary was giving this as a heart of love for Jesus Christ. Another parallel of this is another lady, Mary Magdalene, in Luke chapter 7, I believe it is, where it talks about how she came and poured ointment on Jesus' feet and washed again in a similar fashion. And he notes her love that she presents. And I think there's an aspect to which Mary is demonstrating. Why would she go to great lengths? Why would she sacrifice so much? She has a love for Jesus Christ. That's why she's pouring it out. She's fulfilling the greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. She would hold nothing back from the Lord. She gave her all to Him because she knew Him. Because she'd sat at His feet and listened to Him, He had become precious to her. He was more valuable to her than her most valuable possession. And I think there's an aspect as we look towards motherhood. We know that mothers are known for their love. Why do they make those sacrifices? Why are they willing? There's an aspect we know that mothers would be willing to lay down their own lives for their children. And there's an aspect of they want to, and we think about the just all the things we've been talking about, the sacrifices that have been made from early point, from the beginning all the way to the end. And it's interesting that the Bible tells us that God's love even exceeds a mother's love. Can a woman forget her suckling child? That's very, very rare. Because mothers hold those little babies close and tight, constantly aware. You know, motherhood is what defined as being able to, you know, sleep next to a chainsaw sawing logs and hear a cough three bedrooms down and wake up. To be able to hear that little, their heart is attuned so that their ear, if it hears any of that smallest little cry, that they come and respond. And yet, He says, yea, they may forget. There are some who do forget. There are some mothers who abandon their children. It's a great unnatural thing. It's a great sadness. But God says, yet will I not forget. He loves us. There's something beautiful about I love praising my mother and writing her a card because I know that in seeing the love that I experienced through my childhood, I was just tasting of the love of God towards me. And there's an aspect even if we've lived a life in which we say, well, my mother wasn't all that she was for you, there's an aspect to which we know that God, He comes along and He takes up the fatherless. He fills the gap. Wherever the gap is in your experience, the love of God can satisfy every hole and every hurt that we feel. Oh, love is so beautiful. It's the greatest of the graces. It's the apex of the virtues. It's the first of the fruits of the Spirit. It's the one badge of identification for the disciples of Jesus. It's the requirement that fulfills all the law. It's the one essential that makes any good work matter to God. Mothers, do not despise your labor of love. Because God says, I will not forget it. I have seen. I know your works. I know your labor that you put in and the love that you have poured out. Don't. It's easy when it's not thanked. Because, I would say 20% of it's thanked. 5% maybe. Most of it's unheralded. There's a toil in which you are constantly benefiting the family, expending yourself with a good will towards others, and yet oftentimes you can receive sass and disobedience and forgetfulness. But let your love abound more and more. That's God's heart for us. Where you've demonstrated, where you pour out your love for your family, let it abound more and more. There's a poem that I like to read. It says, a mother who always cares, a mother who's always there, a mother who always prays, a mother who always stays. When things get rough, when life gets tough, when all is just too much to bear, God's word she shares, God's light she shines. So bless God made this mother mine. You think about, my mother introduced me to life and all the joy it contains. My mother introduced me to compassion, comforting all my pains. My mother introduced me to security through extended warm embrace. My mother introduced me to joy through her constant smiling face. My mother introduced me to goodness through her giving, constant provision. My mother introduced me to significance through her ever caring attention. My mother introduced me to mercy because in my mess still she claims. My mother introduced me to love, and throughout my life faithful she remains. And there's an aspect of truth that we can experience in that love is faithful. Love is always there. And we experience that in our human relationships. I believe that motherhood is like this glorious box that's being broken in a similar way, and that in what she did, Mary honored Jesus. The disciples, you know what they cared about? They cared about the poor people. They cared about all the waste and all this was poured out, and all what they've gotten on the floor, and maybe tried to scrape some of it up, and oh no, it's all wasted. Oh. And they thought this was pointless. But she was honoring Jesus. Mark tells us that she anointed his head. I believe there's an aspect of a picturing there of acknowledging he is the anointed king. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. She came to honor him. And he says, the poor you have always, but me, I'm departing, I'm leaving. Honor me first. You cannot love. You can say, oh, I just want to love my family and I can't spend time for God because No, you can't love anybody else until you've honored Jesus Christ first. Yeah. That priority has to be first and foremost. Then you'll have the source, a fountain of life to love others. Everything else will be futile and dry and just striving in men's and fleshly power. But you've got to put Christ first. And she honored him. So she knew who he was. He's the king. He's the Christ, the anointed one. But also, she knew he was going to die. That's what the disciples missed. They were able to acknowledge that he was the Christ. But when he said, I've got to go die, Peter said, Lord, don't let this ever happen to you. We'll stand up. We'll protect you. We'll keep you from dying. And he said, Jesus, most bodies were anointed after the burial. But because of Jesus would have no anointing, because of the nature of his death, until his anointing would take place before he died. You think about motherhood. Does motherhood honor Jesus? I think there's an aspect to which it really does. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 2, verse 4, the instruction of the church is that the older women are to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet and chaste, keepers at home. Keeper has the idea of being a guard, a guardian. You've got a post. You've been called to protect your children, your family, to be involved in that sphere. And he says in the end, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Then he goes on and talks to the young men. And at the end of that, in verse 8, he says that they would have no evil to say of you. And then he talks about the servants. And at the end of that, he says, that they may adorn the gospel, the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. I've given you the verse references there. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say is he's saying the same thing three different ways at the end of each one of the instructions. So to say that the word of God be not blasphemed is to say the same thing as to adorn the doctrine of the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when mothers are fulfilling their role and they're loving their husbands and loving their children and their keepers at home and they're accepting what God has placed into them as the will of their life and they're fulfilled and satisfied in that place, they adorn the gospel. They make Jesus Christ look good. They honor him. And for that, they ought to be honored as well. And so don't run from God's calling upon your life. Accept the sacrifice, because you know that you're walking in the footsteps of Jesus, and you want to bring glory and honor to Him with every poopy diaper, with every prayer. There's an aspect to which here in our church we have all kinds of mothers. We've got mothers who expecting for the first time and still waiting for that child to be seen. And then you've got mothers who have lots of kids around their feet. And then you have mothers that are a little more seasoned and their kids are growing up. And then you've got mothers who are helping their children step out into life. And then you have mothers of mothers, grandmothers, and then even mothers of grandmothers. And yet, God has a role for you in your children's lives all your life. It never stops. The burden that you feel, that you carry in your heart for those people, is a God-given burden. And you know what God wants you to do with that burden? Cast your burden upon the Lord. For, because, this is the reason you cast your cares upon Him. For He cares for you. He wants to answer your prayers. Oh, for the godly mothers who continue to pray year after year for their wayward children. Testimony after testimony after testimony can be given of 10, 20, 30 years of prayer. And someone comes back to the Lord. Well, there's some burdens like that in this room. Keep praying. Keep honoring the Lord with your faith and your commitment to them. And the last thing in terms of what I see here in this passage is that this sacrifice receives a blessing from Jesus. Oh, the world mocks. The disciples thought it was a waste, but Jesus said, "Hold on, guys. You guys have got the wrong perspective. She has done a good work on me. This is of great value. There is something beautiful in what she has done. In fact, it's so beautiful that wherever the gospel is preached, wherever the good news of Jesus Christ is preached, what this woman has done will be preached as well." You know what? God's saying that her deed will not be forgotten. And neither will motherhood. There's an aspect to which the Bible says her children shall rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. What I want to see is there's a connection here between this gift, because what she did has a continuing impact throughout all the generations. We were still talking about today. But you know what you do is pouring your life into the life of another. That life pours its life into another. And it pours its life into another. And as you sacrifice for others and you give yourself in love towards those that God has placed around you as your God's will for your life, and you're sacrificing, there's a generational impact that takes place. And that is one of the most precious things in the eyes of God. He tells us in Psalm 78, and there's this declaration that says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." That's what God wanted. You got to raise up kids who are going to tell it to their kids, who are going to tell it to their kids, so that the remembrance of what God has done for you and in this world will not be forgotten. God cares about that. That's how valuable your investment in the lives of children and young people are. how valuable your prayers are before God. God will not forget. You think about the Bible and how many examples of godly mothers that made an impact and made a difference. What about the faith of Moses' mother? Samuel's mother, who prayed earnestly for him. John the Baptist's mother, who sought the Lord for his birth. Jesus' mother, the mother that speaks on the behalf of her son. And there's an aspect to which the Bible indicates to us that the most powerful plea comes from a woman for her children. That's the greatest leverage. And so when you come to these key points, they want to tell a story that's going to really weigh down on David's heart and make him say, oh, okay, fine. This son was supposed to be killed, and the mother of the son came and said, he's my only heir. He's my only child. Will you please have mercy upon him? He says, all right, he will not die, even though he killed his own brother. There's the power of the intercession, because God is a God that values those who are in a place of weakness. You say, I don't feel like I've got a lot of influence. I don't got a lot of power. Then pray, and God will hear, and God will answer. So I want to end with this thought: be faithful to God. Mothers, Christian ladies, pouring your life into the lives of others, be faithful to God. Even though others may not thank you or others may not see, you will hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Be faithful to pray. Be faithful to instruct and disciple your children. Remember that they're lent to you from the Lord. Be faithful to be obedient to your husband and demonstrate submission to authority in your home. It'll make a huge impact on your impact in their lives. Be faithful in serving and meeting deeds, and God will exalt you someday. He says in the Bible in Thessalonians, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. You're doing well. Don't get discouraged. Keep it up. Keep going for the Lord. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Father, there may be someone in a crowd this large that knows about Jesus but does not know him personally, knows of the offering of salvation and forgiveness of sins but has never asked for that cleansing for themselves. Father, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, that you would draw them to yourself, that they would feel compelled to want to know more about this forgiveness. And Father, I pray for the ladies in our church who so many here have a testimony of godliness through the years, have raised up children, are praying for them, and are waiting patiently upon you. Father, I pray that you would answer their prayers, Lord, all throughout this room, their greatest desires, the things that they have constantly brought before your throne. Father, we know that you will avenge, that you will enact, you will arise on their behalf. And Father, I pray that you would use these dear sweet ladies, Father, to raise up as in your plan the next generation who will carry on the torch to be preaching your gospel until you come again. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand and turn to page 553. Lord, bless our home.
Families all around us are crying.
forget about the flowers that are there, as Dan had explained it to us in terms of that. Did we explain it? We did not explain it. Okay, well, that's for true. I was over here daydreaming. I missed it. We did it right with, if you're a mother, you can take one flower, and if you are a grandmother, take two, and if you're a great-grandmother, take three, all right? So there'll be flowers in the back, and there's some chocolates as well. So we gave out chocolates to the men on Father's Day, and found out we need to do that for Mother's Day, too. So there's some chocolates back there, too, so feel free to grab one of those as well. I'd like to ask Brother Kenny Blake if you wouldn't mind closing our service with a word of prayer.
Father, we just thank you for the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf, Lord, and just how you loved us so, Lord. And we just thank you for the sacrifice of our mothers, of these mothers that are present here today, Lord. And I just pray that you bless them. Lord, give them a good day today as they spend time with their children and those that aren't able to, Lord, that you bless them too. And we just ask, Lord, that you would just bring us back and let us learn more from your word, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.